mercy and peace are now yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel lesson today, we see how Jesus has power. Ultimate power, even over demons. He had just shown his ultimate power over creation. He had just calmed a great storm on the Sea of Galilee. The storm was so great that it terrified, it tortured the disciples with fear, and that is no small thing. Because many of the disciples were fishermen. They knew the sea. They knew when a storm was bad. Jesus was sleeping in their boat, and they wake him up screaming in his face, "Don't you care if we die?" Jesus gets up, rebukes the storm and its quiets and calm. Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. The scene ends with the disciples sitting in their boats at his feet, free from the terror of the storm, free and calm from the worry of death. They land on the shore, and they come to a small village, a countryside in front of a village of Greeks. Pig farmers lived there. Pigs were deemed unclean by the Jews, but not by the Greeks. Many cultures back then, and even still today, worship pigs. And these Greeks would have sacrificed pigs as a means of grace to their god Dedimer, the goddess Dedimer. They believed that Dedimer, when you sacrifice a pig to her, would cleanse you of your impurities or your sins. They also believed that if you wanted to get pregnant, you would sacrifice a pig to Dedimer. We have baby showers. They had fertility parties. They would sacrifice pigs to Dedimer in the hopes that Dedimer would allow their young women to become pregnant. Jesus and the disciples see and hear the unclean pigs. But what's more important is that Jesus and the disciples encounter something else that's unclean. Someone else that's unclean. A man who's terrified, tortured not by wind and waves, but by a legion, that is many, unclean spirits, demons. This man is messed up. So messed up that the townspeople have repeatedly tried to chain him and bind him with shackles. But then in great and mighty strength, the demons seize the man, and he breaks the chains and shackles. The man terrorizes the townspeople. The demons terrorize the man. Demon possession is never a pretty sight. There are many reports in the Bible of demon possession that usually results in convulsions, seizures, foaming at the mouth, weird languages being spoken. And in this case, this man hadn't worn a stitch of clothing for years. And he lived out in the wilderness among the tombs, among the dead. He was possessed by unclean demonic powers, and he lived among the dead, marked for death. Now, if you've ever seen the movie The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings, you know who Gollum is. This man is a biblical example of Gollum. You would never find a more desperate, more despicable, more dangerous, yet depressed man or human in all the world than this man who's completely naked living in the tombs. Picture Gollum. And then Jesus gets off his boat and encounters this Gollum-like Greek character. After bringing calm to a mighty storm and to a terrified band of Jewish fishermen, Jesus sees this Greek Gollum, and he goes up to him, and Gollum cowers at his feet. The man wants to speak. Gollum wants to speak. But the demons, they control speech. They have the power. The man wants to speak. He wants to beg Jesus for mercy. But the demons speak for him. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torment me. The demons amazingly get it. They know who this Jesus is. They know, just like the storm knew, that this Jesus is God. They confess with their very mouths that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, God Himself in the flesh. And so they beg Jesus for mercy. They're not talking to the goddess Dedimer. They're begging Jesus for mercy. What is your name? Jesus asks. Legion is the reply. Legion. For many demons had entered the man. Not just one, but many, Luke reports. And they begged Jesus, please do not send us back to the abyss, to hell. They instead begged Jesus that they may go into the herd of pigs. And Jesus says, okay. Now imagine that. Jesus answers the prayers of demons. We call foul. How many times have we prayed to Jesus and he answered the way we want, in the time we want? And here's the demons, and they're begging Jesus to answer their prayer, and he obliges. What is that? Well, remember how we noted what happens when demons possess humans. It's not a very pretty sight. Convulsions, seizures, foaming at the mouth, creepy, naked, tomb-dwelling behaviors. Well, Jesus knows exactly what demons possessing pigs might look like as well. Unclean spirits possessing unclean pigs will do, well, unclean things. So Jesus gives the demons what they want. And when the unclean spirits ask to go in to what these people thought were their means of life, their means of cleansing and atonement of impurity and sin from this goddess Dedimer, when these demons ask to go into the means, the pigs, he allows it. He casts the demons into the pigs. The pigs can't handle it. They rush down the hillside into the lake and they drown. And once again, we throw the flag. Foul! What's that, Jesus? Jesus is mean to pigs, we cry out. Really? Let's just look at it how God might view the scene. Jesus allows the demons to possess the pigs. Not so much because the Jews see them as unclean, but more so because the Greeks see them as the source for cleansing, the source of life from their goddess Dedimer. And so Jesus allows the demons their request to judge the Greeks for their untrue, impractical, superstitious idea of the power of the pig. For if the pigs had power to cleanse, and if the pig had power to give life through Dedimer, why can't they cleanse this man of his uncleanness? Why can't they give this man who is living among the dead life? Why can't the townspeople help the man who is so desperate? Where is Dedimer helping this man? Jesus does more than just judge the power of the pig. He judges the demons with their very request. The lake, you see, to the Greeks, was also the abyss. The demons beg not to go back to the abyss. And ironically, Jesus gives them the request to go in the pigs, and the pigs lead the demons where? Right to the abyss. And yes, the pigs die. And when the pigs die, though, the demons don't just go into the abyss of the lake. they go back to hell, where they belong, where they no longer can torture and terrorize this village. By answering the demon's request, by answering the demon's prayer, he judges the demons and cleanses the people of their demonic possession. But most importantly in the story, Jesus himself has a plan to bring cleansing to the unclean, freedom to the enslaved, calm to the tortured and tormented, to this golem-like creature. Jesus brings new life to a man who lives among the dead. Yes, tragically, the pigs are dead, but look, look over at Jesus' feet, and you'll see this young man. He's quiet, and for the first time in many years, he's wearing clothes. I bet you everybody loved that. And he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clean. He's cleansed. He's free. He's calm. He's alive. He's not living in the tombs. He's not possessed by demons. He's not convulsing or seizing. And the words of Jesus have done it all. Just as the wind and the waves obey his word, so the demons obey his word. And just as his word brought calm and new life to the disciples, his word always, always, always brings cleansing, freedom, and calm, and new life to anyone who sits at his feet. The great irony of the scene, however, as if we need any more irony in this scene, is that the people of the village, when they hear about the pigs being killed, they all rush out to see what happens. And they see this Jesus, and they see the man sitting clothed at his feet. They know this man. He is the son of some father. He is the son of some mother. He is the brother of some sister. He is the brother of some brother. And he's healed, and he's cleansed, and he's calm. And the people are afraid. They are seized, the Bible says, with fear. Who is this man? He killed our pigs. Now we can't sacrifice to Detmer. Now we can't get cleansing from our impurities. Now we can't ask Detmer to create life, they think. But they're not looking at Jesus. Look at his feet. The man is healed. He's cleansed. He has new life. But the people can't see. They're blind. And so they cast Jesus out. The man at Jesus' feet is giving thanks and praise and rejoicing quietly. And the people send Jesus away. They send him away because he killed their pigs. And Jesus leaves immediately, the Bible says. He gets into a boat and he sails off with his disciples. And they land again. And as they land in a new crowd, a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years and has paid tons of money to numerous doctors and found no healing, walks up and touches his garment and is immediately healed. And Jesus walks on with the crowd to a father whose six-year-old daughter is dead. And Jesus says, Tabitha cum, and the daughter gets up and lives. What a Father's Day that was. Jesus shows that the power of his word is more powerful than anything in all of creation. More powerful than the wind and the waves, the demons and the diseases, and even the dead. His word brings cleansing and calm and life to the terrified and the tortured. Jesus' word sets free those who are bound and shackled, who are enslaved. Yes, sitting at the feet of Jesus is an amazing place to sit. Whether in a boat with the storms of life knocking you all around, whether being pursued or even persecuted by demons, diseases, or even death, the feet of Jesus is an amazing place to be. And it's the only place in the entire world where you know that you're clean, of your sins. Just ask the woman who barged through a Pharisee's door and found Jesus reclining at a table. And she wept at his feet. She cried at his feet. And she was judged by those Pharisees. Does this man know who this woman is? And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Just ask the Roman centurion who placed a spear in the side of Jesus on the cross to make sure he was dead. He could testify to you. He heard the words. The greatest Father's Day message in the history of the world from the lips of Jesus. Father, forgive them. Yes, the feet of Jesus is an amazing place to be. It's the only place you will find calm, even when life is not calm, in the face of even demons and death. Just ask Mary Magdalene. She was possessed by at least 7 demons, the Bible says. And yet Jesus cleansed her of all of her demons. And then on one Sunday morning, that same Mary would grab the feet of Jesus. She thought he was a gardener. She thought this gardener had moved her Lord's body. Where have you moved his body? She exclaims, and Jesus responds, Mary, and she looks up, and well, you will never be able to describe in words what she felt. She was clean. She was free. She was calm, and she was alive, because he was alive. You have come to the right place this morning. Better than an extra hour of sleep, better than an extra paycheck you could have earned, better than that extra cup of coffee or reading the Sunday newspaper, better than a lazy morning laying around the house or fishing on the lake or greens to golf on. All these things are wonderful things, but at the feet of Jesus, it's much, much better. You've come today because you've come to sit at the feet of Jesus. Like the demon-possessed man, like Mary, like the sinful woman, like the Roman centurion, you're at the feet of Jesus. And when you're at the feet of Jesus, he speaks his words and they do their work. You are forgiven. And you need to hear that because you, like me, are unclean on our own. And when you hear those words, there's an overwhelming sense of calm. You're clean. You're cleansed. There's an overwhelming sense of new life. You'll live forever because he lives forever. The winds may be whirling, the waves may be waving, the demons may be demonizing, but you are clean and calm and free. You're alive at the feet of Jesus. And if you're wondering about that prayer that you keep asking but just doesn't seem to be answered, at the feet of Jesus, you know he always, always, always answers all your prayers, always for your benefit. Some of those prayers you ask, he doesn't answer the way you want or on your time. The demons, he answered their prayer the way he wanted to judge them. He'll never, ever give you what you want if it leads to your destruction or someone else's. He will always, always, always answer on your behalf for your benefit. Because you, like him, are the son or daughter of his heavenly Father. And through him, who is God in the flesh, he grants all of your requests for your benefit. For he is the one who teaches us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. In Jesus' name, amen.